Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. You become what you eat, and no one sees that result more closely and intimately than oncologists, cancer specialists, when they're trying to extend your life. And it's little wonder then that surgeons are often vegans, vegetarians, or at least super adverse to red meat and animal fats, much like our guest, integrative cancer specialist Dr. Donald Abrams, who says that some 30% of preventable cancers may be attributed to what we eat and what we don't eat, a proportion equivalent, and this shocked me, a proportion equivalent to those cancers caused by tobacco use. Dr. Abrams, thank you for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
It's a pleasure.
You are an integrative oncologist at the University of California, San Francisco Osher Center for Integrative Medicine. First of all, what is integrative medicine, and how does that relate to your work as a cancer specialist?
Great question. Integrative medicine, I would say, is patient-centered, relationship-based medicine, which combines the best of conventional and complementary therapies into a regimen that addresses the needs of the whole patient, body, mind, and spirit. I took a two-year fellowship in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona, Andrew Weil's program, and on completing that, I decided what I wanted to do was integrative oncology, working with people living with and beyond cancer and helping them to integrate these other modalities into their conventional cancer care.
And you literally co-edited the book for the Oxford University Press entitled Integrative Oncology with Dr. Weil. And you're also a member of the National Cancer Institute, CAM, Complementary and Alternative Medicine Editorial Board. Tell me, was it difficult? Was it a struggle to convince the folks at NCI, the National Cancer Institute, to do a book like this?
So actually, the book was Oxford University Press. The NCI, I'm on their editorial board for their website, which is, addresses complementary and alternative medicine. The is in the series, the Weil Integrative Medicine series. It was the first book published in that series. There are a number of other books now that Oxford University Press has put out.
I'm reading an article you wrote entitled Cancer Nutrition, What to Eat and What to avoid. So let's discuss your ideas about foods to increase or incorporate in the diet. For example, you said that garlic is a powerhouse cancer fighter, as it's antifungal, anti-inflammatory, a word that will come up several times during our talk, and helps to lower blood pressure and cholesterol. What does that mean, antifungal and anti-inflammatory, and how does that relate to cancer?
Well, inflammation certainly is something that we think is really key in the development of a number of cancers. When you cut yourself or when you have surgery, when you heal, you get red, hot, tender, and swollen. That's inflammation. And it's part of normal healing. But when that goes on inside of our body without provocation, it leads to degenerative diseases of aging, such as dementia, heart disease, and cancer. And there are many foods that we eat that promote inflammation, as you mentioned, animal fats, for example, and many foods that we eat that decrease inflammation, including garlic and a number of other spices or seasonings that we think of, plus a number of other mainly plant-based foods.
In fact, I have a bottle in my hands, and I'll hold it up to the mic so everyone can see it. It is a bottle of California extra virgin olive oil, and I must say that we have adopted olive oil in our diet and essentially said goodbye to butter. And frankly, I really haven't noticed the difference. And I'll be quite honest with you, I'm a great booster of California agriculture and happy to promote the local product. What are your thoughts about that? As a place to start, for example, something that's attainable and sustainable, something that you can literally do tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, dairy is an interesting question. We talk about foods to eliminate, and much of what I teach my patients comes from guidelines from the American Institute of Cancer Research or the American Cancer Society, and they both agree that sugar and, you know, high energy dense foods, sugary soft drinks, and red meat and other animal fats are probably not the best for us. Dairy has never actually been completely associated with increasing the risk of cancer, but when you think about it, there's no other animal that drinks another species' milk, but no other animal drives a car or goes to college either, so that's not a great argument. But no animal drinks milk after they've been weaned. And by the age of 3 or 4, we actually lose the ability to digest the sugars and the proteins in dairy. So we talk about lactose intolerance as if it's a disease or a disorder, when in fact it's the norm. And the only people that really digest dairy are Scandinavians who have a genetic mutation on their second chromosome because they needed to digest reindeer milk in times of freeze. So, if you're going to do a dairy product, might be the best to do because it's mainly fat and not as much sugar and proteins, which we can't really digest.
I just mentioned starting.
It's a good start.
With extra virgin olive oil as an attainable, sustainable way to improve your diet. But you also advocate, as lots of folks do, fruits and vegetables are important components to the cancer-fighting diet. In fact, you say it's ideal to consume 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. That's difficult for people, but it's a worthy goal.
Right, and 5 to 9 servings seems to be confusing, so I think the guideline has now been changed to at least 2.5 cups of fruits and vegetables a day, more vegetables than fruits. And we know in America that maybe 25% of adults and less than 10% of high school students can meet these guidelines, and that's not good, because a plant-based diet, I don't advocate veganism or vegetarianism as the most healthy diet, but plants are a great source of antioxidants and other so-called phytonutrients, or nutrients from plants that are cancer-fighting and really health-promoting.
Your colleague, Dr. Weil, has a new book out. In fact, it's a cookbook, what a surprise, entitled True Food. He retained a classically trained French chef to help him start a restaurant in Phoenix called the True Food Kitchen, and I know you've been there. And he says something very interesting. When they go into the walk-in cooler of the True Food Kitchen, they have vast shelves of veggies and tiny ones for meat and dairy. In fact, they say we may put 9 ounces of veggies and 5 ounces of animal protein on a plate, and other restaurants would do the reverse. This is really nicely aligned with what you're discussing.
Oh, yeah. True Food Kitchen is the restaurant, and he has a number of them in California, and I was just in Tucson and ate there 2 nights in a row. I mean, it is amazing food. It's healthy and plant-based, and really adheres to much of the guidelines that we've been discussing today. So,
in fact, I'm looking at Prevention Magazine, and all the recipes feature extra virgin olive oil. It's so once again, there seems to be a consistency, a loop here.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, olive oil, though, if for people that like to cook at high temperatures to stir fry, sometimes olive oil burns at too high a temperature. So there are other options, grapeseed oil, rice bran oil, sesame and peanut, people that like to cook at a higher temperature.
Dr. Abrams, let's discuss the scientifically proven why behind eating more fruits and vegetables and heavily pigmented fruit, ginger, and more fiber. Let's start with fruits and vegetables. How do they actually work, and we discussed this earlier, in a diet to not only promote good health, but perhaps discourage cancer? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Well, again, as I mentioned, fruits and vegetables are very rich in antioxidants. Free radicals, oxygen, when it's two molecules linked together, that's what we breathe, that's how we live. But when those oxygen molecules separate, that's free radicals or reactive oxygen species, which go around bang to our DNA, causing damage leading to aging or cancer. Antioxidants suck up those free radicals so that they can't do their damage. And again, most antioxidants are found in fruits and vegetables. And in addition to antioxidants, these fruits and vegetables have some plant-based chemicals that are also very potent.
I'm Christopher Springman. This is Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. Stay with us for more of our interview with Dr. Abrams.